Tango Tango Popple 1744, June 4, 2013.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you from home. So, let's see. What has happened in the past few days? So I was in North Carolina, and I was able to actually meet a listener named Mike. They're in North Carolina. He lives at, they're close, very, I don't know where he lives at, but he works out of Greensboro. And of course, you know, I was kind of around there, and so I was able to meet him, I think Friday, if I'm thinking correctly, Friday afternoon. He came and met me in the, there's a TA truck stop near Greensboro. I think it's Whitsitt, maybe, something like that, North Carolina. And so had a nice visit with him. He bought my dinner. Thank you very much. Had a real nice visit with him. And so I went ahead and spent the night there. And then the load that I had delivered Monday at 12:30 in Fort Smith, Arkansas, Monday afternoon. So I made it home. I was able to make it home Sunday. I guess it was about 12 o'clock or so when I got to West Fork. And so I was able to go ahead and just come on home for the night. Then I got up, so that would have been Sunday, and then yesterday was Monday, so I got up Monday morning, and got around and delivered the load down there in Fort Smith, where it went, and then came back, and so I've been off. Today was my first full day off work, so I got four more to go. So I'm scared, should be going back to work on Sunday. So in the meantime, I spent some time Sunday afternoon, spent several hours mowing. That's always kind of a chore, and I figured I might as well go ahead and do it while it was pretty easy to do because of the, you know, it was... you know, everything was fairly dry, so I went ahead and did it because there is rain in the forecast, I think, and it has been fairly cloudy. So, and I think it was fairly cloudy most of the time I was gone. So, I was having problems for the past couple of weeks. I couldn't get into my home network from the outside world, and I didn't know what happened. I didn't know if maybe the router, it might have been, you know, them talking about the DSL modem / router from the phone company. Didn't know if it might have gotten struck with lightning or if it just locked up or exactly what happened. Well, it turned out the fix was very easy. All I had to do was unplug it and plug it back in. It got to the point where, I don't know, it had probably, after, you know, remember I put an uninterruptible power supply on it, and so it had been probably months, since the last time it was actually unplugged and plugged back in, and I think I might have rebooted it. I don't remember if I rebooted it or not, but, when I was kind of messing around with the configuration, but probably not. I don't think I did. I think that it had actually been about 2 or 3 months. Well, it just got to the point where it just, there was no data coming in or out. It just, it was, the lights were flashing or whatever on it, but it was just, there was nothing passing through it. So that was a pretty easy fix. All I had to do was unplug it and plug it back in. And now the reason I put the uninterruptible power supply on it in the first place was because, you know, there was a couple of times there it lost my telephone company account username and password. And without that, then it really pretty much is dysfunctional. So that's why I put the uninterruptible power supply on it. But then since then, it, you know, when I unplugged it Sunday, you know, unplugged it and plugged it back in, it remembered everything just like it was supposed to. So I don't know. But so in any case, before that's just something else that I need to do before I leave, or at least once while I'm home, just unplug it and plug it back in. And as long as I do that about once a month, I should be okay. Shouldn't have any problem. Shouldn't have any problem with it. So, but that turned out to be quite an easy fix. So, and today, let's see, I met my friend Gene for lunch up in Bella Vista. Did that, and then when I got back, you know, after I spent some time, you know, Sunday I spent several hours mowing, and I started kind of, there's part of the property, there's a good part of the property. I live on maybe, you know, I have 2.5 acres. And so I may live on about one third of it. There's about one third of it that's fairly well cleared of trees, and I'd say approximately two thirds of the property is, you know, it's wooded. So there is a lot of stuff in the woods. Just, you know, the property originally belonged to my parents. There was 5 acres, and so a number of years ago they sold me the half that my house is on. They sold me the half of the, you know, so 2.5 acres. So it's kind of a long narrow strip of property that's the 2.5 acres. But so I'm living on the, you know, the part that's closest to the road, the one third of that, and then the other two thirds, as I say, are sort of wooded. Well, back there in the back, you know, my dad, I don't know, for years he kind of collected stuff. And he would bring stuff home from work, and some of the stuff he bought. And so he, you know, there's a lot of stuff back there. You know, and even though some of it's, my youngest brother hauled part of it off a couple of years ago, there's still a good bit of stuff back there. And so I started kind of going through that, and, you know, I don't know if I'm going to get, you know, how long it's going to take me to get rid of that stuff, but I have started, the part that's, closer to the house, there's some bunch of, you know, especially off out of the front, there's this old fence that's not doing anything, and that needs to come out. So I started, and I bought a pair of, I don't know, I guess you'd say loppers or giant scissors, or, you know, they have a name. I don't remember the name, but they're like, they're sort of like a giant pair of scissors that you'd use to trim things with, you know, trim hedges or cut small branches with. And so that fence that's out there that I'm going to eventually get taken out, you know, it had grown up with all kinds of vines and what have you, grown up in it. So I spent some time this afternoon kind of trimming part of that out. And so hopefully I'll be able to get rid of that fence here pretty shortly. But, and then on, you know, and kind of in part of that fence, there's these trees and the bushes have grown up in them. And, you know, so it's just, it's kind of a you know, and then there's this old picnic table and some crap that's piled up around it. So I want to clean all that out and maybe trim some of the low branches on those trees, because, you know, there's this area where these trees are just too close. You know, the stuff's all kind of close together, and everything has, you know, the weeds have grown up, and it's just, you can't even really get in there. You don't want to go in there because you might step on a snake or something. So I want to kind of clean that all up, and then, you know, once I get the stuff out of there and hauled off and those limbs trimmed and what have you, then it, you know, it just basic, and the fence gone, and it basically just will extend my yard, and I can mow it, and maybe, you know, I even have a place to put a picnic table or something, or, you know, just something in the shade. But so that'll be a nice area once I kind of clean it up and get, you know, kind of, because it's just really way overgrown, that particular area is. So I've kind of been working, I worked on that this afternoon, and, you know, so don't want to do too much at once. But it's been, weather-wise, it hasn't rained. It did, when I was on my way up to Bella Vista, it did rain some on the way up. Never did rain here in West, down here in West Fork, it never did rain. But it did kind of rain a little bit on the way up there. But it, you know, if you looked at the radar, it looked like that it, because there was a long line of activity on the radar that was headed this way from Oklahoma, and the, you know, it stretched clear down into North Texas and then up into Missouri. Well, that never did really, I don't know if it just fizzled out or what happened, but I would have thought that's what made me think it was going to rain. And for a while, it, you know, this morning it started out very overcast, and it looked like it was going to rain for quite a while, but then, as I say, out here it never really did. And then this later this afternoon, probably mid-afternoon, it cleared up, and you know, now the skies were clear when the sun went down. Now, I don't know, haven't been paying attention to the weather forecast, so I don't know what is supposed to happen, but someone mentioned that there's probably supposed to be some rain later on in the week, so we'll just have to kind of wait and see what happens with that. So, but temperature wise it's been, you know, it's pretty nice. I think it was in, maybe it was in the 70s today. It started out, it was in the 60s. I think it got down to the 60s overnight, and then it was 70s today. So it might have got up to 80 or maybe close to it. I know I worked up quite a sweat while I was out there doing the trimming. I did work up quite a sweat, and so I, when I came in, I went ahead, and I didn't know if I'd, you know, we do have ticks sometimes. You know, when I was home the last time, I did end up with a tick on me, small tick, and, you know, like a seed tick, and or maybe a little bit bigger than that. A seed tick's a little tiny one. This was a little bit bigger than that, but I did end up with the tick the last time, and so there was something crawling on my arm, and I don't know if it was a tick or not, but I was able to get it off. So after I came in, I decided I would go ahead and take a bath, and so I, you know, I've got this couple of bathtubs in my house, but this one is a, I guess you'd say it's almost like a garden tub. The thing is pretty good sized. So I don't use it very often. 9 times out of 10, I'd say probably 99 times out of 100, at least I use, you know, I just use a shower. I've got a walk-in shower. But this bathtub, sometimes I'll, you know, so I went ahead and, you know, filled the thing up with water, and it's big enough where I can get in there and just, you know, pretty much immerse myself, immerse my entire body except for my head, and that's useful if you think you got a tick, or you might, you know, because sometimes it's interesting, you know, sometimes they'll just kind of, they don't really attach themselves right away. It might be a day or two, you know, it just depends. It might be a few hours before they do. So, but they have to breathe, you know, those things have to breathe. And so if you can drown them. So if you're not sure, like I wasn't sure if I might, you know, there might have been or might not, and didn't know. And so the easy way to cure the problem is to just soak in the bathtub for about, you know, doesn't even have to be soapy water, you know, just clear water will do it. Soak in there for, you know, about 10, 20 minutes, and if there was anything there, it drowned. Now, of course, once they attach themselves, you know, you don't really want to dig at them, because you will kind of, you know, you have a tendency to pull them apart, and then, you know, they leave part of their thing in your, you know, they hold the part that they hold on with ends up kind of staying in your skin, and that can become infected and so on and so forth. So if one bites you, if you have some like some rubbing alcohol handy, if you can, you know, put that on a cloth, or a, let's say a napkin, or some, you know, paper towel or whatever, moisten the paper towel with it, and then just kind of hold that on there, that will cause them to let go. You know, I think the alcohol pretty much kills them, and it's probably, I don't know if their body is sensitive to the alcohol. I don't know what, but rubbing alcohol will generally do the trick, and, you know, pretty much kind of kill them and make them let go. You know, and then, but once they bite you, you're probably going to end up with some kind of a bump or something, and you don't want to scratch it. You know, but even though it's probably going to itch a little bit. So, but there, you know, those ticks can be kind of annoying. And there's some years, I don't know, there's some years where there, it seems like the dry years, they're worse. Of course, this is a very wet year so far. So, then, I don't know. A lot of people, whenever I first moved here from Kansas, moved to Arkansas, it seemed like I was, you know, the ticks just made a beeline for me, and I couldn't, there was a period of time where I couldn't even barely walk, you know, from the car to the house without getting a tick on me, you know, without finding a tick. And then it seemed like after I was here for a while, they didn't bother me anymore. Now, part of it is, you know, what kind of clothing do you have? What kind of shoes? Of course, I wear boots, you know, and of course, the jeans, you know, I usually have jeans, you know, kind of over my boots. So the jeans, I don't know if it seems like that combination, I very, very rarely have a problem with one getting on me. But now, of course, if you go out there with like tennis shoes and shorts, and that's asking for it, because you can get into other things besides ticks. There might be some chiggers or some other things. But so I never do that. I usually, virtually all the time, I wear boots and jeans and don't usually have a problem with bugs, but you know, kind of getting on me. But just in case, I decided I would go ahead and take the shower anyway, and or take a bath rather, soak in the tub for a little bit, and if there was anything on there, then it was gone. Of course, I completely changed clothes, and you know, so if there was anything on me, then whatever possibility that there was, if there's anything in the clothes or whatever, then, you know, they probably, you know, those are going to get washed. So, and I don't think the things can live very long unless they have some sort of a blood supply. That's, of course, that's what they're after. They're looking for food. That's why they bite. That they're it's a blood sucking, it's kind of like a little vampire. So, but anyway, as I say, I'm home for the next few days, and don't really have too, you know, anything planned at this point. I might go see the new Star Trek movie, maybe sometime over the next few days. I don't know. I would like to. I've kind of heard most people seem to have liked it. They seem to have liked it from what I've read about it. And so, you know, it'd probably be okay. The first one, you know, of this new thing, the J.J. Abrams with all the lens flares and the jerky cameras and what have you. It was okay. It was all right. It was an okay movie. So this one, you know, they claim that it's either as good as or better as the first one, better than the first one. So it should be okay. So, you know, and it's not the original thing. So, you know, because the original series was the original series, and you know, there's been all these different Star Trek versions, and so this is a sort of a quote unquote reboot of the series. And you know, because of the way they set the first one up, you know, with the new characters and what have you, the new people playing the characters, it's like it's an alternate timeline, and so they can kind of make it whatever they want. Instead of trying, you know, because with Star Trek, they kept having to go back and try to flesh things out, flesh the storyline out, you know, keep adding things. And so then, you know, and of course they end up contradicting themselves over time. You know, not only with the storylines, they would end up kind of contradicting themselves, but they would end up they could even contradict themselves, you know, like from what they could do, you know, like sometimes they would say, we can't shoot the thing, and, you know, because our shields are in the way or whatever. And then, you know, or we can't beam through the shields, you know, and then in other episodes they could. So, so they were a little inconsistent, that way. And you just, I don't know. People get really involved in all the details of that, but you sort of have to overlook that if the story is really what's more important. And as I've said many times, you know, one of the things that made Star Trek, you know, especially the original series, good, was the fact that it was a sort of a morality play. You know, there was, you know, good versus evil, and this is why you should be good. This is why, you know, versus, you know, so it was a morality play. And the very best movies, the very best television, the very best books, fiction books, they always revolve around some sort of a morality play. There's got to be a moral to the story. And if there's not, you can have all the wonderful special effects and, you know, all kind of, you know, details and what have you. And if there's really no payoff as far as morality goes, you know, it's going to be so-so. So, you know, and you would think that Hollywood would know that. You know, Hollywood and the television producers and what have you, you'd think they'd know that, and they probably do, but they don't. You know, there's a lot of, they produce a lot of crap, you know, and you know, there, once in a while they'll bring out a movie that's got a real moral to the story, but a lot of times, you know, that never happens. And you know, one of the movies that I like to pick on in that regard, you remember the movie Twister? You know, it had all these wonderful special effects. You know, as far as the tornado and what have you, you know, all these tornadoes and the storm chasers, it had all these great special effects, and the plot was just worthless. It was just, there was nothing to the plot. You just had these people that were literally screwing each other, you know, and that's about it. And there was really no moral to the story, and, you know, what a waste. You know, of course, that's an eminently forgettable movie. And they've churned out thousands of movies like that are just, you watch them once and you go for a little thrill ride with the special effects and what have you, and the sound and lens flares, and if it's a J.J. Abrams movie. And then you just, afterwards, well, so what? You know, it's nothing special. You know, there's no really redeeming value to it as far as moral to the story. The moral to the story is really important. I think that's one of the reasons why the Bible, you know, reading the Bible, you know, if you don't want to study it, as I've said before, what you want to do is just read it, or as in my case, listen to it. You know, and I'm listening to it now for the third time. I've, the past few days, I've kind of taken a little break from it. But listen through it, and it's there. It's designed to awaken something within you. Those stories in the Bible, those Bible stories, will awaken something within you. Well, it's the same thing with the classic story of good versus evil. That will awaken something within you. It awakens, it's there to awaken the nature of God within you. The name of God, name means nature. And it's there to, and so that's what a good story will do. A good morality play will awaken that within you. And those kind of stories are very meaningful, and you can, a good morality play, a good story between good versus evil has some staying power, and so you can watch it more than once or listen to it more than once, and maybe many times, and still be able to enjoy it versus something with all the wonderful special effects that's just disposable, because there's no real story to it. So, but you would think that they would come up with some better plots as far as good versus evil, but I don't know. They don't. They seem hell bent on destroying values. And the reason that they do is because if you can destroy people, especially younger people, if you can destroy their values, give them sex lessons. Sex education is nothing but sex lessons. Let's be honest. Give them sex lessons and teach them to have sex and put condoms on bananas and whatever the hell else. And get them to have sex, and then once they've done that, it's like if a drug dealer sort of talks you into, you know, shooting up with heroin, then whoever were your friends or your parents before, you're probably gonna, you're distanced from them. It's like you've stepped over an invisible line, and then you can't get back. And so then the heroin dealer becomes your friend. So once once these kids they've been given sex lessons and, you know, how good sex is and so on and so forth, and that everybody does it and it's just normal, so go ahead and do it. You're going to do it anyway, so go ahead and have sex when you're 12. And once they do that, then it's like they've stepped over a line and they can't get back. And it puts it immediately makes them guilty. It's designed to immediately make them enemies with their conscience, enemies with what could be the source of their real identity. They become enemies with that, and it forces them to become externalized. It forces them to embrace their rotten friends that have done the same thing. And it's really normal to have sex when you're 12. Sure, why not? And if, you know, God forbid, if you get pregnant, you just, no problem, you just go kill it. Hire someone to kill it. Don't even have to tell your parents. And once you do something wrong, and that is wrong. Sex at that age is wrong. Sex without, you know, without the benefit of marriage is wrong. Sorry. Hate to be mean. It's wrong. You do that, your enemies, it puts, you have to start making excuses. You're instantly enemies with your conscience. And you're instantly, therefore, suggestible. The farther you are from that conscience, the greater the wedge you have to drive, the more suggestible you become. The more brainwashable you become, the more programmable you become. That's been going on for generations now. Several generations. And the country's falling apart. We're probably going to end up in some sort of civil war. This is the stuff that causes civil wars. This is the stuff that causes societies to fall apart. This is the stuff that enables dictatorship. You know, and it's always the same. People think, oh, well, you know, oh, that old morality stuff that, you know, we're going to be new and modern and sophisticated and we're going to, you know, just do away with morality. We just want to be able to do what we want to do and still have a decent society. We want to just do whatever we want to do and everything, and we're going to have utopia. We're going to just program utopia. And it's just hell. Hell rises up. So, and that's just the nature, that's the way it goes. And if you don't learn the lesson, whether you're an individual or or as a group, the society, you don't learn the lesson, you suffer the consequences. And it doesn't matter whether you believe, you know, you can believe all day long that in your shades of gray theories and so on and so forth, and you know, live in your little delusion until it all shatters, and it's gonna just shattering right now. You know, and it's really gonna fall apart. The potential is really there for it to, you know, major shakeup. You know, I saw a headline yesterday on Drudge Report, you know, more, you know, there's like more so-called baby boomers than ever just committing suicide. You know, whenever you hear baby boomer, just think, for the most part, think spoiled. They live spoiled lives. Most of them, most baby boomers were, their parents spoiled them, starting in the 40s and then, of course, in the 50s and the 60s. Parents spoiled the heck out of them. They've lived sheltered lives. They've lived easy lives. Everything's been given to them. You know, and now there's, you know, things are falling apart and they're suffering a little bit and they, oh, we can't have that. I'd, you know, kill myself. Because they're suggestible anyway, most of them. And so the voice, you know, there's this evil voice that's in there that just, you know, they're draws close and it says, well, why don't you just kill yourself? And so they do. So, I don't know. So, but anyway, it's... you know, there's a lot of people that are unhappy, and that, you know, the redeeming quality, at least the potential redeeming quality, there's a redeeming quality of suffering, because that can cause, it doesn't cause everybody, but it can cause a lot of people. There's a certain type of person it can cause to suddenly decide, you know, to face reality. And then there are other types of people that will never face it. And they can come up with excuses and so on and so forth endlessly. But as I've said many times, you know, we are in the experiment. We're not in charge of it. We're in it. And being in it if you're in the experiment, you really don't have a lot of control over what happens. You know, maybe, you know, individually we do have a bit of control over, you know, our own reactions, you know, how we're going to react, whether, you know, and even that's a mystery as to, you know, why some people are searching and others aren't. That's a complete mystery, and I don't have the answer to that. So even that's a mystery is, you know, and then you get into the idea of free will. Well, is there free will? Is there really? I don't know. But there, you know, as far as, you know, whether you eat ice cream or you eat, you know, spaghetti or whatever, I think that's fairly inconsequential. But, it, you know, is there free will when it comes to, wanting to face reality, wanting to find your creator? Is there free will when it comes to that? I can't answer that question. So my suggestion is always the same. Things are getting worse. They're going to get worse and worse and worse. We may end up in some sort of civil war here in the U.S. And that may be closer than any of us thinks. Don't know. Or, you know, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't have any kind of timeline. I don't know. But I just know that... one side keeps pushing and pushing and pushing, and the other one is, you know, at least politically, one side's pushing and pushing and pushing, and then you have the Republicans that, you know, at the top that are just kind of like the equivalent of a totally henpecked husband. You know, go along to get along. Yes, dear. No, dear. Don't want to rock the boat. Don't upset mama. And then you got people out here in the world, in the real world. And those people, there's a lot of people that are getting frustrated, you know, and some, you know, and the people don't know how to handle. They don't know how to handle themselves. They don't know how to face the world, to deal with the world properly. And of course, that's always our problem, is that people don't know how to properly deal with injustice. And so it gets worse and worse and worse. And finally, what happens? People go to war. And then you end up with a civil war. And, you know, or who knows what's going to happen. You know, I'm reading a bunch of stuff now that's suggesting that we're just, we're very close, maybe just months away from some sort of another financial disaster. You know, I'm reading about, they're sort of moving away from the dollar. You know, China and some other countries are moving away from the dollar as the world's reserve currency. Well, that's the only thing that's kind of kept us afloat, you know, with all this printing that we're doing. Printing and borrowing and, you know, money that we can never pay back. So, they're moving away from the reserve currency. I mean, they come up with all these terms and it makes it sound fancy and sort of hard to fathom. But basically, that at some point, government officials came up with this idea. Well, you know, with Saudi Arabia, they made a deal and they said, we'll protect you if you will only accept U.S. dollars as a payment for your oil. So if therefore, and Saudi Arabia agreed. So the idea was that Saudi Arabia, in exchange for us protecting them, defensive-wise, we would protect them, offer them protection, but in return, they would have to only accept U.S. dollars when they sold their oil to different countries. And so that is, you know, that's the idea of a reserve currency. You know, if you want to buy oil, then you had to buy it in U.S. dollars. And so that made the dollar, that helped prop the dollar value up. Well, that's changing now. A lot of countries are kind of moving away from that, and they're making their own deals, and they're so on and so forth. And so once that really happens, there's nothing to prop up our dollar. And, you know, we're just borrowing and, you know, making money up out of thin air. You know, and as I've said many times, money is simply a medium of exchange. It's not, there's no magic value to it. It's just a medium of exchange. You have people that are producing what the real value is, people producing goods and services. That is the value, because if that value does not, if there's no value, if there aren't any but people producing goods and services, you can have all the gold in the world or whatever, platinum or whatever commodity, and it's going to be worthless, because you have to have people producing goods and services in order for the value to be there, for anything to have value, whether it's gold or whether it's money or whatever, or paper money or whatever it is, you must have people producing goods and services. And so we've got people producing goods and services, but we've got the medium of exchange is just totally corrupted. You know, they're printing and they're you know, borrowing, you know, it's just imaginary money. You know, we're pumping extra units of value into the system, you know, to extra mediums of exchange. Well, we're going to end up with probably a hyperinflation situation. I don't know, but that's the things I'm reading now. That's what people are suggesting. You know, that's probably just around the corner. And who knows what people will do? You know, who knows what will happen after that? Because it's going to be another shock. It's going to be, you know, kind of like the 2008 financial shock. Well, this is probably going to be much worse. So, you know, that's what I'm reading. So we'll just wait and see what happens. But as I've said many times, You want to survive this, or you want to survive anything, you've got to have common sense. if you have your common sense, you're in a much better position to survive. And if, you know, if you lose your common sense, you don't have it, good luck. You're going to need it. You're really going to need it. So, but if you, you know, the best position to be in is to have common sense. So, but we'll just have to wait and see what happens. And seems like it's getting crazier and crazier all the time. And it's, you know, and that's really the direction it's going in. And it's control. What the real problem is, it's not our politicians and so on and so forth. The problem is us. The problem is our lack of morals. It's very simple. The morals, our morals control what happens politically. And it, when our morals go into the toilet, watch out. And that's exactly what has happened. America is a very wicked place. There's still a bunch of decent people in America, but there's also a bunch of wicked people. And America is a really wicked place. You know, I was thinking about, you know, as I've said many times, I don't have any kids, never have had any kids, never will have any kids. But if I did have kids, no way in hell would I send them to public school. Wouldn't do it. And I was thinking about this, in a sane world, you know, if you've got common sense and you're able to think in a sane way, sending your kid to a modern public school is tantamount to child abuse. It really is. So if you're sending your kid to public school, you know, and I'm not saying every public school is rotten. Most of them are. That's tantamount to child abuse. It really is. You want to know what child abuse is? That's your, you know, because a parent is just sending the kid to this, you know, to this place where they're assaulting their mind. Their mind is being assaulted. You know, and as I say, you know, they give them sex lessons and so on and so forth. And you don't think that's going to have an effect? You know, put those sexual thoughts in their heads way before it's time. You don't think that's going to end up with a negative effect? You don't think that's going to end up making them suggestible? Because, you know, you introduce that too early. Because they're going to find out, you know, sooner or later, they can find out about it later, you know, when they're teenagers or whatever. That's great. But they don't need to know about it when they're in you know, they, you know, give them, you know, because they're, you know, even in, I've read stories even in kindergarten, they're teaching them to put, you know, condoms on bananas. You know, that simply aborts the entire normal process of development. And it ends up literally stunting their spiritual growth. But that's why they do it, of course. You know, and then the parent, you know, of course the parent plays right into it and they think, oh, well, it's all, you know, of course they always keep talking about education, this education, that. when they're, what they're really doing is destroying their character. So public education, sending your kid to a public school, is tantamount to child abuse in a sane world. Don't like that? That's my opinion. You have your opinion, I have my opinion, you listen at your own risk. So, anyhow, probably better be cutting this off. We're hitting about 50 minutes. So I'll get this uploaded, and what time is it? Well, it's not so late, it's 11:16. So I'll probably, after I get this uploaded, I'll probably turn on the television and watch something. By the way, if you got a Roku box, there is a new, well, they upgraded the operating system, so it's got a new interface, the Roku box does, but there's a new app, there's a new PBS app, it probably only works in the U.S., but there's a new PBS app, or the public broadcasting system or service or whatever they call it. It's either system or service, one of the two. But anyway, there's this PBS app, and it's actually pretty good. They've got a huge archive of programs, all kinds of different programs. They got the main ones that, you know, like Nova and so on and so forth. But they've got a lot of other ones that are archived in there, and some of them are older. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff there. And it's all HD, or at least what I've found so far, what I've watched so far is HD. So some pretty good content. So that there's this, so if you've got a Roku box and you don't have it already, get the PBS app. Pretty cool stuff. So anyhow, hope everyone is having a great week so far, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com. Never.